Hey there, this is Bree Bagwell with your OnlyFans Breecap, and I'm in an airport, so I'm kind of quiet. But rock and roller Shelby Stone is on a straight upward career trajectory, and it is very well deserved. Thank you so much to John Dixon and Steamboat Music Fest for this live audience interview with this rising star, who I'm so proud to call my friend. Managed by the amazing singer-songwriter and entrepreneur Dalton Domino, who I played many shows with throughout the last decade and a half, this dream team is already debuting at Billy Bob's April 3rd, 2026. Today we talk about our very talented mutual friend, Mila, everywhere online as Mila, not Mila, who is also produced by my producer, Rachel Loy. We mentioned Roger Klein since Shelby recorded her album out in Arizona with his drummer, PH. And I forget to mention that her blue vinyls that match her hair were printed at Hand Drawn Pressing, our absolute favorites and also a sponsor of this podcast. Shelby's banter is smart and hilarious, and she is wise beyond her years. Make sure you go to theshelbystone.com unless you want to buy some rocks. But ironically, she also rocks. Enjoy. Hey, y'all, it's Bree Bagwell. I want to invite you to join me August 12th through 16th in Red River, New Mexico for 8750 Music Festival. This boutique festival features 4 days and 4 nights of outstanding musical performances across 5 venues and includes a barbecue cook-off and a red and a green chili cook-off. 3-day passes are on sale now, and your ticket gets you into every show of the festival and includes 2 free meals. You can get tickets, sign up to compete in the cook-off, and learn more at 8750festival.com. That's 8750festival.com. And use coupon OnlyVans. That's OnlyVans, all caps, no space at checkout to get $10 off your 3-day pass. 8750 Festival, adjust your altitude. By the way, me and producer Kyle, we're both playing at the festival, so you can come see us there.
Everybody from Denver just unsubscribed to this podcast. Right.
Yeah, it's just, it's a lot. Great for people watching, though, and that is a personal hobby of mine. But my phone died, like, so fast, because just the orders that were coming in. And I still have to remind myself that, like, dude, more than just your mom thinks this is cool. Like, more than just your mom is proud of you. Like.
Hey, hey, everybody, this is Bree Bagwell, and this is my podcast, OnlyVans, where I talk to my friends in my van. This is like my 14th Steamboat. I'm a professional packer, and last year I was one outfit shy, and I couldn't believe it. I was so mad at myself. And this lady walked out of the elevator, and I'd been having a little bit of cocktails. And I said, that jacket is amazing. Can I borrow that for my show tomorrow? And she said, sure. So she let me wear a jacket a lot like this. And then this year, she gifted me this jacket for my outdoor show. Is that not the coolest thing in the whole world? Like, that Steamboat to me is like, you might just be gifted a sheep. And I loved it. And then, so I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be warm. I'm not going to be cold this year. And then it was like 97 degrees outside today. So the year I didn't need the sheep. Anyway, thank you guys so much for coming. This is truly the highlight of my life, has been doing this podcast. Producer Kyle's over there. And we started this podcast kind of because he made me. And he said, I'll do all the work if you just do the talking. And so we did. And we started over 2 years ago. And since then, it's crazy. We're like 6 months ahead. We have crazy guests that want to come be on it, like amazing guests that want to be on the podcast. We just found out we're in the top 10, almost top 5% of all podcasts in the world. So it's like, it's really fun. So yes, past guests include, you know, Willie Braun, Mickey Braun, a lot of, Rick Trevino was just on it, Steve Trevino, comedian, just a lot of Courtney Patton, you know, all the whole Music Fest people. So if you want to learn anything more about your favorite artists that you don't know already, I think it's a good podcast because we don't necessarily say, how'd you get started in music? Which is interesting. It's more like, remember that time we all went skinny dipping at Mile Zero? Like, just stupid things like that. So it's a little bit different of a twist on podcasting. So I want to say thank you so much to John Dixon, who reached out and said he wanted to do this podcast live at Steamboat. We tried it out last year. It went amazing. And so this year, this was one of the people on my priority wish list to be on the podcast. And she said yes, and I'm thrilled. I've watched her play, and we got to play together last week. And She's just the coolest freaking person in the world. Insanely talented, but insanely cool and hilarious. And so would you help me welcome Miss Shelby Stone, everybody? Ooh.
That was so nice.
Well, I told you I'm not going to just gush about you the whole time, but I could. I could just sit here and talk about what a fan I am. What does your shirt say?
Tell your dad to stop calling me. Yeah, I've got another one that says, tell your dad I said hi.
Uh-huh.
So I'm kind of keeping it a thing. But no, gush all you want. I'm incredibly vain with a very low self-esteem. I need it. It's perfect.
Hey, that's all of us as artists, right? We're like really self-conscious, but really confident at the same time.
I'll
wear sheep outside, but I'm going to cry about it later. Like, whatever. Yeah.
I've changed twice today, so I get it.
You look great. That belt buckle is awesome.
Thank you.
Is that your dad? That's your dad's belt buckle?
It is my dad's.
Your dad was a bullfighter.
He was. Bullfighter and rodeo clown.
But were you a rodeo clown for Halloween?
I was a rodeo clown for Halloween. I found the little, like, I've got two corgis. They're the light of my life. They turn one next month. I don't know. It's crazy. They, like, give me, like, purpose or whatever.
yeah.
But they don't really like costumes, but one of them would wear the cowboy, like, where it looks like he's riding him.
Yes.
And I bought that costume first before I figured out what I was going to wear. So that it just kind of worked out super well.
It's really cute. Like, dogs, I can't imagine doing what I do without my dog.
Oh, yeah, man. It's a whole new thing. Because I grew up with one that, we got her when I was 4, and we had to put her down when I was 22. So, like, she was ancient. Best dog in the world. But, like, it was my dad's dog. But, like, this one is mine. I'm like, okay, no, I get it. I'm going to be insufferable about these things.
Oh, when I told my vet when they have to put my dog down, then he could also put me down at the same time.
I'm not going to go well over.
No, and my vet was like, hey, that's not really a healthy attitude. You should maybe talk to somebody about that. Was that for me? Lovely. And I was like, that's how everybody I know feels about their dogs.
Yeah, what do you mean? Grown men cry.
I know.
What if he needs a backup?
I know. And if you don't like dogs, you're not my people.
Yeah. But I'm also a big cat person, too. Like, I grew up with two cats. It was Thor and Loki. Loki was, like, 17 and a half pounds. I miss those cats every single day. My mom forgot how to house train them. They're funny, man. They really are.
You had to have... We were talking about this. You had to have cats, and so did I, growing up because of the snakes.
Yeah. 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 If you don't fix them... As soon as you get them, they do not care that they are brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
We ended up with 21 cats before we could, like, even do anything about it. It was actually insane. But no copperheads.
No copperheads. And when I was talking to you about it and you were like, I was reading my Kindle in a bleacher chair in a tree one day. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? And Katie Brown said, that tells us a lot about you.
It really does, man. There was this tree that was, like, right by the house, and... We had a tree house, but then it was converted into a deer blind because I'm redneck, not white trash. There's a difference. All of you that laughed, you know that there's a difference. But they turned into the deer blind, and so my mom had a stadium chair, and I just, like, ratchet strapped it in a tree so I could read my Kindle uninterrupted. It ends up with a lot of cats. Like, there was a really sad story. There was a carcass in my stadium chair because we couldn't take care of the cats clicking off. So.
Just a dead cat in your stadium chair in a tree.
Bad. And, like, I've been, like, man.
Listen.
Yeah.
We have to kill the snake. It was so just nice talking to you because sometimes I feel like I picked up a guitar instead of the reins, right? Mm-hmm. I had a rodeo family. I have a farming family. And then I chose music. But you necessarily didn't choose this like I thought you did. Just because you're so natural of a performer, I just felt like you always were like, this is what I wanted to do. And then when I found out that that wasn't how you started, like, that's insane to me because you're just so naturally good at it. But if you, just when I said, we don't talk about, like, how'd you get started on this podcast, and then here we are. But it is fascinating.
There's layers to it, though. Yeah. I get where you're coming from. I grew up going to rodeos with my dad. I think I was potty trained, not gonna lie. And then I was working for a horse trainer up near Decatur, and he was doing reining, just reining, not reining cow horse or cutting, anything like that, just the patterns. And I thought that was cool as hell. And then there was one day that I threw a fit. I was done. There was actually some, like, really crazy things on the back end of all of that. And I just quit, and I tried out for cheerleading. I was in, I think, sixth or seventh grade. Yeah, I know.
My dad I cannot picture you as a cheerleader.
Don't tell me that.
No, no, no. Actually, I could. You can do anything.
Well, if you
can you give us a cheer? No, don't do that.
Give me a sign and I've got it, okay? No, I was. If you can picture me blonde, it's a little bit easier. But the blue hair, I know, for sure throws it off.
And is that your natural color?
No.
Oh.
It's brown.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah, it's just like mousy brown, I think. I don't know. I haven't seen my natural hair color in a very long time.
I was also a cheerleader.
It's fun. I think it has... I know for me, it taught me a lot, like, about performing and stage presence and, I don't know, basic decorum and manners. And how to, like, carry yourself in public, I think. I don't know.
It's fun. I mean, I think, you know, it's just, like, part of... I don't know. Nowadays, I feel like you can't do everything. Whereas when we were growing up, it was like, do you want to... I was in cheerleading, volleyball, choir.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
Band was like, if you got some extra time, like, we kind of could do all the things. I think that's good for...
It makes kids really well-rounded. Like, I tried playing sports... Emphasis on, I liked basketball because you could kind of get into like a physical altercation and it was fine. I wasn't like skilled and I could not run. I tried cross country and I was like, oh, I can't do long distance. And then I did track, can't do short distance, so I just can't run. but like I tried all of the things and like now I finally found something that worked. Cheer helped pay for my college, so.
Wait, what? How?
Yeah, man, scholarships.
You got a cheerleading scholarship? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you're talking like backflip cheerleading.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Like the TV show cheerleading.
Okay, I was like a seventh grade really bad cheerleader that
Listen,
a herky was hard. Like, okay, you're talking like competitive cheerleading.
No one ever asks me about cheerleading. Thank you so much.
No, I love it. Cheerleading is like the most athletic.
Dude, I will occasionally joke and I'm like, I played a fake sport, don't ask me. And I'm like, that was, my ribs are still... bad. My traps, my shoulders are enviable of a young linebacker. Like, I was built like a shipwreck house. Like, it was the most...
Were you like a base or a flyer?
I was a base.
Of course. You're strong.
I was more wide than I was tall, so they were like, well, we can't put her in the air. And that's fine. I'm afraid of heights. But no, I cheered from sixth grade to my junior year of college, and it paid for both colleges I went to, and then I was even a part of the... There's a company called NCA that... goes out to the high schools and does like the cheer camps for all the sideline things. Go Tigers. That was like, I did that for numerous years as well. Like I was deep in it. So every time they're like, I can't see it. I'm like, who am I?
No, I can see it. I think I can't see you being like a bad seventh grade cheerleader like I was, but I can see you being an awesome competitive cheerleader like I was not.
Great save.
That's why they pay me the big bucks to do this podcast. Well, I was a gymnast. I was a level 5 gymnast.
So you were like an actual athlete. Nice.
No. And then like they took my parents in and they were like, hey, she's like going to be 6 foot tall. She's never going to be really good at this.
That's super hard as a tall individual.
Yeah. So then they were like, well, we're not going to waste our money.
No, that's right.
This.
Genuinely, my deterrence from gymnastics was the leotard. I couldn't, I went to a private school, man. Every summer camp, they're like, girls are in one pieces. I'm like, it's a one piece. I can't do that. No. Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. Out of there. But where was that college at?
So I went to Hardin Simmons in Abilene, purple and gold, till the day I die. And then UT Arlington, which is where I ended up graduating from.
That's very cool. And no music during that time. Well, let me ask you this question, because I remember recording my first little EP, and I was, I don't know, 21 or whatever, and I did cheerleading, and then I was a volleyball player.
Oh, nice.
And the guy I recorded with, he goes, your voice just sounds like you've done a lot of yelling in your life, which was not a compliment.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't, like, lose... I feel like your voice doesn't sound like you were screaming.
If you would have found me, like, maybe, like, 2 and a half years ago, maybe 3. Yeah, you probably could say the same thing because it's just all diaphragm. I am just now started to develop this like falsetto head voice thing thanks to some voice lessons because I just didn't know how to like actually activate those muscles just because that's, it's not your job when you cheer.
I still don't know how to activate
them. I really don't. I do it on accident. It's like...
Ooh. Yeah, there are some notes where I'm like, I just do a quick prayer before, and it's like, well, didn't get there, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I also got my tonsils taken out when I was 19, and that was cool. There's, like, vibrato now. Don't know how to use it, but, like, I don't, like, choke in my sleep.
That's very interesting because I have too much vibrato where it's distracting, where I'm always trying to flatten it out.
Interesting.
And people are like, hey, you sound super cold.
No, I used to just like fake it. I do like the Reba McEntire like jaw shake where I'm like, yeah, this is fine.
She does do that.
Mm-hmm. I was talking about this on the drive up. One of my favorite things to do is watching other vocalists, like what their thing is. Like there's some artists that sing very much like pursed lips, and then there's like Reba that does the jaw thing. Most guys all just sing like this. Like it's just like all right here, and like you can tell it. Let me not do this. Anyways.
No, I love it. I love this because like if you think about even this is so fascinating. I've never talked to anybody about this.
It's one of my favorite things to notice.
Because like Cody Johnson goes, I'm getting tired of being alone. Like he like moves his hat in the notes that he's singing. And I tried that once and like almost gave myself a concussion. But that's interesting because my producer all the time, she's telling me to look at myself in the mirror because when I'm having a hard time hitting notes, I'm looking like I'm having a hard time hitting notes. But if you're like, and you really drop your jaw. And so, like, she just told me to sing everything. Like, all my songs sound like a la, 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 like the, you know, just, it's really interesting because I don't want to have the audience look at me singing and have them be like, ugh, that looks like it hurts.
She is trying very hard.
She's trying hard, and she's still not there. She's on her tiptoes, and she's still not getting up there.
Not the tiptoes. Yeah, oh, yeah. That's so real. No, that's because I have, like, a really bad tendency of, I call it peanut butter mouth or marble mouth, like, where I just, I don't know how to describe it. And so, like, Dalton, he's always, like, sing. Like, make, like, the E shape to make the sound just more clear and more, I don't know, tonally correct. I don't know. But it's a whole thing. It's one of my favorite, like, things to just notice with, like, other, like, insane vocalists or songwriters where it's, like, or, like, Josh Weathers. Like, he's one of the greatest vocalists of all time.
Yeah.
So you have already just this insane vocalist, and then he makes the mic also an instrument. And, like, how he uses that to his advantage as well with no feedback, or I don't know, if I tried that, it would probably not go well.
Yeah.
Like I should probably practice it, but like, it's such a cool job and there's so many layers to it. Like, which I think is just the gist. You could say that about any aspect of this job, but like,
it's also so cool. How good you can hear yourself. Right. So like for the first 5 to 8 years of my career, when I like didn't have in ears and I was screaming over the monitors and I couldn't hear over the cymbals. So when you hear someone and they kind of can go like, it's like, well, I can't do that because I have a cymbal
literally
right here in my ear.
No one has ever described my voice as delicate. That must be nice.
Well, that is absolutely wrong because I was listening to your record this morning, which again, I feel very, very spoiled because I get to hear the whole thing before anybody else.
Or you could buy it.
No, that's true. I was going to talk about that too. Brilliant. Great job. But there are a lot of very vocal, delicate moments on there where I think that's, for me, what is so great about you amongst a lot of things is that you are a powerhouse, but you can be in super intentionally, beautifully delicate without, it's just effortless. So I think that's, people... Well, we can't describe you as a delicate because then you'd just be a little tiny woman with a tiny brain and tiny hands. And but you can be both of those things. And you are both of those things. And so as a singer, you said you had like vocal lessons. I can't
afford them anymore, but I took a few.
Join the club. Is there any free vocal teachers? Onlyvansinfo@gmail.com. No, that's not our.
You should give out a fake email.
I don't know our real email address. Like, Kyle, what's our real... It doesn't matter. Go to the description of this podcast. You can find it.
There's proper chance.
Yeah, but you're always trying to better your instrument, and you can tell, like, you've to me, really have a master of it, but you didn't even start doing it. How did you even find out that you were... But you were singing what, in church?
I was singing in church for a very long time. I graduated with 9 people from my private school. Salutatorian with a 3.8. small pond, but... When those kinds of establishments find out you can sing, you have to be on every single everything, every worship team. Oh, we need someone to do the national anthem. Why don't you go ahead and go over there and do that? Everything that needs any sort of performance. And so I thought that was just kind of it. That's what I was cool with. But how that even started is my mom scheduled a voice lesson with the lead worship pastor and was like, and this is the thing. My mom's either my biggest cheerleader or my biggest hater. And that's like fine. It keeps me humble.
It's moms. That's like the definition of a mom.
Yeah, truly. It keeps me in line. And she scheduled it and she was like, we just want to know if she's any good. Because like, if she's any good, like we can probably do something with it. But like, I just need somebody like unbiased. And so I went and did like a vocal lesson, and I guess it was fine. I didn't really receive the feedback, but I was also a very fragile eighth grader. I didn't need that.
I was not a good singer in eighth grade.
I've heard videos. I don't know what they heard.
Whatever. I don't believe that. But then what about guitar? Because you have like Dolly Parton fingernails.
So, okay, I will admit they're two different lengths.
Yeah. I see.
And I've tried to do the Dolly Parton thing, but I have big ass sausage fingers. All right.
No, you don't. Let me see them over here.
Okay. What size ring do you
wear? They're a little, what?
What size ring do you wear?
Like what size?
Mm-hmm.
I've never been proposed to. I have no idea what size my finger is.
Well, okay. Like this is like the most dainty finger I have, and it's really sick because
let me try it on.
Here, try that one.
Is this a middle finger moment?
If you want.
I feel like, okay.
I got big ass knuckles. Okay, that's really what it is.
They're a little bigger than mine.
So like bar chords and things like that. There's nothing too crazy I'm getting better at guitar, but when I never took it serious when I was first learning because I low key hustled this kid out of a free guitar. I didn't realize he had a crush. He was going to sell it for like $30. And I was like, perfect. I have $30. And he was like, you can just have it. I was like, cool. Have a good one. And like till this day, I'm like, maybe I should just like Venmo him $30. Be like, hey, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, this is Bree Bagwell. And if you want to listen to this podcast early and ad free, subscribe to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/Bree Bagwell.
Howdy, y'all. It's Bree Bagwell, and I know y'all support the people who support me, so let me tell you about Deep Ellum Brewing Company. Born and raised in Deep Ellum, Texas, Deep Ellum Brewing Company has really made its mark on the beer world. Known for its flagships, Dallas Blonde and Deep Ellum IPA, they put boring beers to shame with a full lineup that's unapologetically not brewed to style. My personal favorite is the Dallas Blonde. It is so easy to drink. I just took it home for the holidays, and my whole family was like obsessed with this beer. No joke. They drank it all. Thanks a lot, family. So head over to deepellenbrewing.com to open the beer vault and give your fridge what it deserves. And you'll see why love runs deep for Deep Ellum Brewing Company. Available in Texas and Oklahoma, side effects may include severe happiness. Deep Ellum Brewing Company products are for individuals 21 and older, and we encourage drinking responsibly.
Are you ready to take your merchandise to the next level? Well, just ask me who I use, and that is CH Lone Star Promo. They specialize in screen printing and direct-to-garment, embroidery, laser engraving, anything promo-related, they can do it. Step up your merch game now with CH Lone Star Promo and tell them Brie and Whiskey sent you.
But did not know how to tune that thing. Did not know how to... Rhythm is still touch and go. But, like, my first capo was a Real Techniques makeup brush and, like, 6 ponytail holders. So I just would move it, like, up and down the neck. But I just never really, yeah. And it was one that, like, my dog had previously chewed, so it, like, wasn't really flat. The strings were green, didn't know how to change those.
Where there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah, man.
Uh-huh.
I learned 4 chords, said, perfect, that'll work, and then just never really poured any more effort into it. But then once I started playing shows, it was like, I don't know how to play an F chord. What is that? But, like...
Did you feel like, because I felt like bar chords were always hard, and then one day I just could do it.
Yes,
like one day you would just wake up and you're like, I can play B minor.
No,
well, who wants some of this?
Like, I can take.
Yeah, I can solve all the world's problems now.
I called Dalton Domino as my manager, mentor, and one of my best friends. I called him and I was like, I'm coming for your job. I've got a bar chords down. And he was like,
no.
Okay, what? I was like, no, I've got it. Don't worry.
I like to say things like that because a lot of people that are here or that listen to this podcast are trying to play guitar, and I get people all the time that are like, I can't play.
You just wake up one day and it's like, that's neat. Look at me go.
Now I know 5 chords.
Yeah. Literally.
That's all you really need. Well, let's talk about Dalton because I've always been a fan of Dalton. He's always been a cheerleader for artists, female artists in particular. He was always kind to me. We used to play shows together and... you know, never got to know him too well, but always well enough to be like, this is a dude who gets it. Mm-hmm. And so how did y'all meet and how did he become, and he's still your manager?
Still, yeah.
That's so, so great. He called me out of the blue one day and I'm like, Dalton Domino. And I'm like, hello? And he was like, I'm managing this female artist. Let me tell you about all these things that are happening to me. And I was like, yeah.
Welcome.
Yeah. 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 And it was so crazy. And you know what he said to me that I thought was so special is that he was like, I've seen it and I've been friends with you, but like now that I'm in it, it really is a thing. And you and I talk about this. We try not to make it a thing, but like, he was like, this is insane. We're dealing with things with Shelby that I've never dealt with in my career, like weird stalkers and like just crazy things. And I'm like, yeah, welcome to managing a girl.
Yeah, it's insane. I met Dalton, or I think Dalton was introduced to me through Jacob Stelly. I had met him at like a Mule Barn show out in Justin. And what's odd, like funny enough, is literally like the day before I had recorded all the vocals for what is a school project, but it's still somehow on Apple Music and I cannot take it down, but it's House of the Rising Sun.
Yeah.
School project, unmixed. That's it. But I've been very, very grateful for what it has done for me. I just don't play it anymore because that song, on top of 15 years of cheerleading, gave me nodules. So like, I just don't do it. But, Stelly was like, do you have anything I could listen to? Like, I want to hear your stuff. And I was like, I have nothing at all. This could be my chance.
You should just get $40,000 and make a record. Like, why don't you just spit out a record?
Go
on TikTok. Have you tried TikTok?
Have you tried The Voice?
No.
I have.
They told me no.
Yeah.
No, but I guess when, I don't know when Stelly ended up bringing it up to Dalton, but I think Dalton found my TikTok and was just like listening through some of that. And then I was at a photo shoot one day. This is so embarrassing. Not being at the photo shoot. I looked great, but,
you always look great. Prove it.
I'm a professional shapeshifter is what it is. Cause if not, this blue hair gets real troll like,
yeah.
A very Marge Simpson, but, there we go. That was good. Thanks, guys. But we were shooting for like a decent amount of time, and like I got back to my phone, and I thought the message had been sitting there for a second. I really had. Turns out Dalton had just messaged me on Instagram. Was like, hey, this is Dalton here. Would love to get on the phone. Let's chat. I immediately called. So I just looked super desperate. Was I? Yes. But like, there was no playing it cool because immediately Dalton was like, oh, you called me really fast. I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
I can hang up and call you back in like 15 if you want. But it was just that phone call. He was like, why don't you come down to College Station? Come write with Jordan Nix and I. And like, let's kind of see like what you got. And I don't know. I tell him this all the time. And he never really gives me an answer that tells me like, no, that wasn't the case. But I tell him that I don't know that he wanted to work this closely with me. I think I just kept calling. Which is fine. I just...
Yeah.
Well, and then it would turn into things like, hey, this venue guy is sending me explicit photos. I don't think I should play there for a while, just like to like loop you in. And he's like, what? I'm like, oh, yeah.
Wait, like a bar owner was sending dick pics?
Yeah.
Ah!
Yeah.
I thought I'd heard it all.
You would think, but... He also, like, just, like, believed me immediately and didn't, like, try to gaslight me into being, like, mm-hmm.
Well, what'd you do? Did you wink at him?
Right, yeah. Exactly.
What were you wearing when you were playing that show?
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so he just, like, immediately was in my corner with, like, no questions asked. And every question I had, because at the time, too, I was finishing up my degree in music industry studies, which, hell yeah, makes for a great piece of wall art. One that my parents paid a lot of money for. And like cheer helped a little bit, but most colleges still think it's a fake sport, so it's never full ride, but it does help. But I was in a class, it was called Art Entrepreneurship, and essentially, we had kind of talked about this. My original thesis, like my senior thesis, I was going to call it the Founding Fathers of Texas.
Don't do
Texas
it.
Music.
I'm not ready for it.
but it was going to be about Judy Hubbard, Shannon Canada, Bree, Courtney, Jamie, Sunny, Caitlin, and just talk about all the women in it. Because I thought that would be like Robin Shep. Like that was another one. I was like, this is such a cool name. And my professor was like, you can't sell that. And I was like, have you ever met a female artist? But okay. That's a good joke. They don't realize it yet, but that's okay. so they ended up transitioning it to like how to present myself as a female artist to music festivals. And so that led to a bunch of ridiculous phone calls with Dalton where I'm like, my professor sells paintings for a living. He doesn't understand the music industry. Like, how do I reframe this entire project? And so, hell, I got lost. What were we talking about?
I don't remember, but I do remember that.
Oh, Dalton. That's what it was. That was when we first started working together and I just kept calling him. And so he helped me graduate. It worked out really well. There we go. Full circle. Mm-hmm. Nice.
There it is. Well, we have talked about it where, a lot of times, I mean, there are people that I know that I was talking to, I was on Jared Morris's podcast, which this probably isn't the same anymore, but he was like, I can't get a booking agent. I'm like, if anyone deserves a booking agent, it's Jared Morris. Like, he's incredible. And I have never not had a booking agent. It's kind of the one thing where sometimes being a female in this industry is an advantage in the sense Absolutely. That there isn't that yeah, many of us.
Oh my God, that was a thing. I have a yeah. PowerPoint slide that I don't know that I've shown you, but I'm very proud, very, very passionate
wait, you have
about
a,
it.
Wait, what?
So I had to do this whole presentation about how to like market myself.
Put it up on the banner.
I know, dude, don't worry. It's somewhere. It's great. I worked so hard on it. I was on Canva. It was all the things. But one of the things was you had to talk about your advantages, and I had mentioned there's not a bunch of us. And so I pulled up 6 festival bills, just picked at random. And I did not realize that it was like that until like I actually had it in front of me. But 5 out of the 6 all had 7 female artists. Like seeing the number 7 that many times, it was like, whoa. Okay. So yeah, no, in some cases it is absolutely an advantage because there's, I guess, 7 of us to pick from.
Right.
And slowly there's more like Presley Hale and Mila and like there's so yeah. many on the come up.
Oh, Mila's so great. And yeah, it's really funny when I was telling you just about the weird things that people say to me when they're like, oh, there's a new girl. Are you jealous of her? I'm like, what? There's like plenty of room.
No, plenty of room.
Like, come on, let's go. And you and I both are, we take the stance of, you know, we want to just do a great job and be invited back because we deserve to be here. Yeah. Not necessarily gender related. Like
Absolutely.
We just want to put out good music and have great bands and put on a good show. And so
I want the me being a female artist is the least interesting thing about my art. Like, truly.
But you are really hot, I must say.
Thank you. I paid a lot of money for all of this. Oh, love a good return on investment.
Yeah, no.
No, like, it is. It's the least interesting thing about me.
I agree.
Mom put me through, like, 4 different etiquette classes, so there's nothing really that ladylike about me anyways. Like, none of them took, but I can set a table, I'll tell you what.
Wait, this whole time I've known you, I didn't know you could set a table.
Hell yeah, dude. That's and not, I know where not to put my forks, that way they know I enjoyed the meal. It's a whole thing.
Well, I told you last week that I was like, sometimes I still get these comments where this one time at the last festival I played that I had never played before, and they said, well, you know, we had you, and you're actually good. And I'm like, oh, well, why did you hire me? Like, well, we needed a chick. Jesus. But you were like, you are good. And I was like, that's such a weird comment to say.
I love,
but I did, I was like, surprise. But I did just get a gig because I'm a woman. Like, yeah, baby. Like That's I'll fine. Take it. Like as long as that check clears, you know, whatever.
Right.
Offend me a little bit. No,
this might be a little crass and Lord, I mean this from a very humble place. I'm working on the difference between pride and being proud of yourself. It's a weird thing to manage. If tits get me on the bill, that's cool, but talent will get me there the next year. And that's fine. Like, I don't mean that in a tacky way, but like, and that's not just me. That's all of the other female artists that I know. Like, yeah, hell yeah, man. Hit your 10%. But like, we're more than just that. So like, it's fine. Like, yeah. Especially that was the thing I noticed bad when I first got started was the weird competitiveness that other people would put on other female artists. Like, I remember there was one time one of my friends had announced something like super, super cool. I think they got on like a festival bill or like maybe got a support slot for like a big band. And they were like, oh my God, did you see that? And I was like, yeah, I was at her house when she got the offer 6 months ago.
Yeah.
This is old news to me. Okay. And I've been proud of my friend. And in the same breath, they make Americana music. If you've ever seen me full band, which if you haven't before, I play at the Grand tonight at 7:30. Thanks. I'm a swift kick in the jaw. It's a rock and roll show. It's not going to make sense for me to be on this like songwriter fest with my band. Cause I can strip it back and I can be a songwriter, but like genre wise, you've got 2 completely different artists. Hangover Ball. We were shuffle personified of genres. Like
yeah.
It's so cool. But like, that's a really weird thing that you're doing. And I don't know why obviously not y'all, but I don't
Everyone
know
Everyone here
why.
Is feeling very attacked.
I know. I'm like, but it was a thing that it was like,
get out.
It drives like a weird wedge where like the vibes get weird in the green room and it's not by our own account. Like it was something that I was very adamant, like upfront being like, you cannot pit me against these women. Like you can't. Rising tides raises all ships. Like,
right. Or if it's like a girl gets something and say, hey, did you see she got this? I'm like, did you text Randy Rogers that this new guy got something? Like, it's like, that. why do you think that I'm going to care about
that? Don't be mad at the one girl on the bill.
Never.
It's not her fault that she's the only female artist on the bill.
No, and she's probably my friend. So
ding, ding, ding.
The Lord didn't necessarily bless me with a lot of them, but if they get me on the bill, like in whatever size they come in, I'll take it. Exactly. And speaking of big deals, your Billy Bob's debut. Come on. I think this will be out before then, but yeah, please tell everyone when it is. This will be out.
April 3rd this year, I get to headline Billy Bob's. I hope that nobody gets fired for sending that offer in, but I haven't like really come to terms with it, because growing up going to rodeos with my dad, one of the rodeos that he would fight or bullfight at was the bull riding there at Billy Bob's, which is a really small arena and is really scary when you look at it with adult perception and not 3-year-old perception. Perspective. There's the word.
Perspection. I liked this. It. Shelby's own perspection.
I just make shit up, dude. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
I don't care.
But no, I mean, I grew up out there, like being able to be like, oh my gosh. And it's also my album release show. That way Silver Year will be on streaming. And it's just such a monumental finish line as well. Like, oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah.
So I'm floored. I haven't really quite found the words of, I should have pulled the picture up to show you, but like when we first got the offer, I'm in my pajamas and I just took a picture in the mirror. Like, I just got an offer to headline Billy Bob's. And it looks very much like when you try to tell someone like an elaborate plan of the day when they first wake up, and they're like, I'm like, yeah, it's same. It shut me up the rest of the day. I didn't have anything else to say because I was just so floored, and I'm a yapper. And so that's impressive.
I love it. Well-deserved. Well, don't worry about the floor for female artists at Billy Bob's, because my debut at Billy Bob's, it froze. Remember the Elsa day where there was like this frozen tornado blast? What was it called? It was called like a Snowmageddon. Like, there was like this actually, and so the whole Stockyards froze over. There was no bars open in the Stockyards. Like, they closed all the bars. All my parents' flights got canceled. Like, everything got canceled. And I was like, well, you know, Brie Bagwell, Shane wanted to cancel just because it's cold. So we went there. And it was still actually a surprising amount of people still showed up for my debut. But, like, people physically couldn't get there. So then, like, after the show, I was like, we did it. Let's go party. And the Stockyards was closed on Saturday. So then I thought that like took all the pressure off. Like,
that is, that
wasn't my fault.
No,
so,
it wasn't.
Yeah, and then I got to go back. But if I'm off, I will drive up there. And
yeah, April 3rd.
That is so exciting. And let's talk about that record, because Really, Really Smart, which I think is a new kind of way to do albums now, is putting them like you did, putting it on Bandcamp, where people can buy your record and hear the whole thing. Or they can wait their tails off and spend $0.
Exactly. So the main thing the whole reason is we took a page out of BJ Barham's book and crowdfunded. Literally the week after Steamboat, actually, last year. And we finally finished at least like the original track list. I think we've cut some things recorded some more things for like a deluxe edition to add on to it. But like,
do I have the deluxe edition in my text messages? Because if not.
The one I texted you is not. I can send those over, though. Well, we don't have any, like, final mixes for it yet.
I'm kidding.
I'm really excited.
I'm already spoiled.
No, I can make it worse.
Okay.
No. But once they were done, it was just a thing of, like, okay, well, everyone that helped pay for it, I'm not going to make them wait an entire, like, promotion cycle for things that they're the reason that we finish. Like, so let's just go ahead and send it. But because it's a link, they're probably going to send it to their friends, or they're going to post about it. So we might as well make it available. That way, if curiosity wants to kill the cat, they can walk right in. And it's just, I was genuinely floored at the response. My phone, we were on our way to Braun Brothers reunion, and our
whoop.
Dude, that is the greatest place I've ever been to in my entire life. I hope we get to go back full band. That way I can essentially just like leave my band in Chalice. Cause they're all fathers except for the drummer. We call him the pretty one, but like, I hope they can bring their families and just, there's no service up there except for like in this one concentrated area. Don't get me started. Let me chill. But we were stuck at the Denver airport with a layover. Hate that place. Sorry.
Don't be. Denver is the hellhole of the world.
It's like
Denver airport.
It's like a black hole.
Clarification. Everybody from Denver just unsubscribed to this podcast.
Right. Yeah. It's just, it's a lot. Great for people watching though. And that is a personal hobby of mine, but, my phone died like so fast. Cause just the orders that were coming in, and I still have to remind myself that like, dude, more than just your mom thinks this is cool. Like more than just your mom is proud of you, like, and cares about your music. And so it was, and then of course I got to Chalice and had like no service. And so there was a nice little, like, I wonder what will be there when my phone turns back on. Yeah. But it, even talking to other artists, they're like, man, like, why not? My monthly listeners to my like social media and I guess records sold, the numbers don't make sense. And I don't think anything should ever be based off of monthly listeners, because it is, it just varies way too much. And if lo and behold, you end up on like a kick-ass playlist and then you're not on it the next month, it just tanks. And it's like, okay, how many tickets can you sell? How many records can you sell? Like, so, and plus, man, you can keep your 0.003 cents. I'll hold off for a little bit longer. Yeah. Like,
I got passed up on for a festival because I didn't have enough Spotify monthly listeners, which I like, think that mine are kind of like good right now. And the guy that put on the festival called my agent and he said, we should have went with Brie. We went with this girl that had a lot of monthly followers. She showed up with no band, was not good and didn't. And it was like, even they know that these numbers are not real. You can buy them. And so, but you're not giving, you know, you're passing up artists that should maybe be getting, obviously me, like a chance to play this really cool festival. And then some months it's great and some months it's not. So it depends on when people are booking the show.
The most monthly listeners I've ever had has been 5,004. Like it's a whole thing, man. Because like Spotify is not the enemy. It's not. It's more of an algorithm and it needs to be treated more as like a marketing platform. And there's a whole thing. Dalton explains it so much better. I just nod. I'm like, yeah, man, you got the login. Let's do it. But it's when because we've been passed up on some things because like there's not a viral moment and there's no like top or high number, monthly listeners. It's like, okay, whatever.
Right. Well, and your live show is the reason, like, and it's like, if anyone could just see that, then they would be like, yeah, just come to show. And they'd be like, oh, great. And
Andrew McWilliams from Evergreen, he did a panel at the Fort Worth Music Conference. I'm absolutely butchering the name, but
I know what you're talking
about.
You know
what I'm talking
about. Yeah,
it was there at Tannehill's, and I can't remember who the other agent was up there. But Andrew goes to shows. He just likes music. He's like, I don't care about monthly listeners. Is the show any good? Like, can you bring people out? Like, and that it gives me hope that there's more agents like that out there in the world, that or agencies of any kind, whether it be a label or booking or blah. There are people that just go to the show. Like, if the show is good, hell yeah. Like, there's such thing as called discovery mode, and hell yeah, that's cool too. But, like, it's not completely the enemy, but we shouldn't just base everything around a follower count, monthly listener count, all of those things, especially when it's about art.
I know. Oh, listen, honey, I know. But I also feel like at the end of the year, we did our podcast, and I personally feel like the pendulum is swinging where people are craving real live things. And so it's like when you go to a Shelby Stone show, your live performance like is so, like, hearing somebody that sings as well as you do and delivers a song as well as you do live is very special. And I feel like the world is swinging back to craving that. And so you have that. So it's like, great. What we've been training for our whole lives, we're finally going to get, hopefully that's going to be what's important. Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, and plus like with, I'm a huge Swiftie, by the way. Okay. This is a Taylor Swift safe space. If you're going to come and talk shit about her to me, this is not the one. All right.
Kyle just passed out. He loves him some Tay Tay. I love Taylor too. But
like from songwriter to businesswoman and whatever. Anyways, those tickets did get really expensive. And the Beyonce tour, those are really expensive tickets. Like, everything is so expensive right now. But you know what's not? Going down to the local live music venue, and paying $15, $20, $30 for a ticket and a great night of live, authentic music. Like,
sneaking in that flask of booze.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Support your local beer
tip your bartenders. Yeah, but, like, this is much more, like, attainable and realistic. And because maybe it's Dalton. I feel like maybe I'd read it somewhere, but like if you do the math of like you've got a young couple that has maybe some toddlers or school age kids or infants, to be able to go to a concert, like, that is a huge thing to be able to do. You have to get the babysitter, you have to make sure you're off work, you have to do all of these things, buy a ticket, you got to pay for parking, you want to buy merch, okay, that's cool, and now you got to pay for $25 beers, single, tall boys, and now the concept of a tall boy beer is a lot for me, because now it's hot at the bottom, and I don't even drink. Well, like, yeah, I guess so. You know what, you're right. Cheers. Yeah. But, like, that is an expensive endeavor, even just, like, on the local side. I can't imagine doing that for, like, a numerously thousands of dollar ticket price.
Well, so, and that's why I feel like people don't have any money left, because they're like, we went to Vegas to see Zach Bryan and spent $8,000 or, you know, whatever. And then it's like, ah, I get it, you know, coming just at our level is a lot. And it used to be 10 bucks at the door and, you know, $2 beers, and it was a lot more attainable. And that's why I think that, as far as our shows go, we have to make it more of an event, because we can't be in your market every few months, because it has to be an event to see us. And it's a little bit sad in the sense that we just want to, like, go to West Texas and provide music for people that might need it and might just need a Thursday night out where they can get drunk and have a great time. And that's not what we do anymore. And that's
that's the part that I missed out on. Like, when I say missed out, but, like, just missed that wave. I got started during COVID. My first show was Valentine's Day of 2020. So, like,
great timing.
Horrible. Oh my God. I, like, quit my job and I was like, I'm going to be a musician. And then the world shut down. And I had to go work at Amazon. I'm way too pretty for manual labor. Okay. That is a job that you show up, you shut up, and you do your work. And I was like, this is so boring. But I really like being able
but
to pay
did
my
they
bills.
Have health insurance? Which,
like, yeah, actually, they did, and life insurance.
Life insurance?
Yeah, dude, it was like a $25,000 policy. It wasn't anything crazy. Oh. But
not worth a murder over or something like that.
Oh, no, okay. Absolutely not.
Just checking.
But yeah, but I was working at the ranch. So I worked at 95.9 The Ranch, like, right before I got started. That's what introduced me to all of these insane art. Like, Heather is who introduced me to you. I don't know if you remember me that day, but I wasn't on this planet that day, so it's okay.
Wait,
it was at the Post.
Oh, I remember you telling me about this.
I was hammered, and then there were some other things introduced, so then I was, like, just not on the same realm as everybody else, and I don't play with any of those things anymore, and so I'm much more fun and much more, I can remember things better. But, yeah, because Paul and Zane Williams were playing, and I cried. It was otherworldly.
Oh, and I was just there as a patron?
I don't remember. I got tunnel vision at some point once they started playing, and I was like, oh, my God.
Zane Williams. That, and then I was like, you will be mine.
It works for me. I'm happy to be included, man. But,
Well, we met because of Heather at the ranch.
Because of Heather.
Wait, you worked at the ranch.
I did. I was a promotions assistant, and that's... It truly is. It's what made me realize that, like, to be a musician, you don't just have to be the Taylor Swifts of the world or the Zach Bryans of the world. Like, there's levels to all of this, and success has its own definition to every single person involved. And I think that's really, really special. But
and money to be made in the middle areas,
absolutely.
You know, like, that's the thing that is so hard for me, is sometimes people say, just hang in there. It's like, hey, I'm making pretty good.
I'm having a good time.
I'm making money. I'm paying my guys. I'm paying myself, paying my rent. And then there's a little bit left over and I get free sheeps as a form of a jacket.
Exactly.
Like, I've made it. I'm doing it.
Well, and I've even told someone before, I think I was talking to a younger artist on New Year's Eve, actually. We were all on the same bill out at the Cowtown Coliseum. I wouldn't be able to handle overnight success. Like, in the ways that, like, some of these younger guys, I say younger guys, we're all the same age. But, like, some of these artists are getting... My mental capacity absolutely could not take it. My financial ability, how the hell do you afford going viral overnight? And now you have to be in buses with, like, this huge crew and, like, how do y'all do that?
And then someone's like, I will be your financial manager, but you don't even know if they're doing the right things. Like, now I can be like, hey, here are the things that they should be doing, but only because I know. If you don't know.
Exactly. That, and, like,
And you shouldn't be in two buses for a long, long, long time.
Well, and I think substantial, like, paced growth is... Dalton told me once, he was like, everyone's time at the top is so... It's for a short time, but what's important is making your time to the top, like, substantial and deliberate, like, getting up there. That way, like, you've left your mark at every level that you're going to. That way, when you do the one fan at a time approach... They're going to come with you everywhere you go. That way, a 30-year career is what you end up with and not a flash in the pan 15 minutes of fame.
Miranda Lambert's mom, Bev Lambert.
So oh, what an icon.
Slow right up, slow right down is what she always told me. And, you know, we always crave that thing, that pop. I never really had it, but you know what I have had is like slow, steady growth. Mm-hmm. The people that are there with me will always be there with me. And if you can, I'll see you out there. No, there's no crying. This is podcast number 1 of 4. I keep looking at this pirate thinking I'm talking to Kyle.
I do too, not gonna lie.
It's like, that's not a real person. Kyle, you get me, right? And I'm like, Kyle, what happened to your eye? It's like, that's not a person. But anyway, I do think there is so much beauty in that. And what you're doing is you're laying the groundwork with, you know, you're not an idiot. You're like, so responsible. You're so smart. Your morals are so defined. You are very much like, this is wrong. This is right. Like, I love that about you. You've already been through some stuff that could have been weird, but you're like, I will stand my ground and die on this hill. You're so talented, but you have such a good head on it. I'm just so proud of you because that's not easy to do. And to find a champion like Dalton early on.
I'd started to kind of go down this rabbit hole earlier, but Dalton was also in the room and we don't do like words of affirmation things. It's mainly like harassment or bullying. It's just not our thing. But when I get the opportunity to brag on him, I do, especially if he's not in the room, because now I can just like, all of it. He has championed me from day one and has always been in my corner, and he knows what he's talking about in every aspect, from the management side to the artist side. Like, the first time I got to do the music, Texas Music Scene tapings, he was like, okay, cool. Look at your body language. All I need you to do is just kick one leg back and you look a lot more comfortable on stage. And it's like, okay. And then like here recently, there's some parts of this that is, you feel a little stretched thin on some things. And it's like, how much more can I give to you? It's yeah. Like, okay, some guitar picks. That's what they want. They want guitar picks. Like I'm an empath and I'm very emotional and very reactive, and he handles it with grace. If I start crying, I put sunglasses on because he doesn't like to see me cry. But he's like, that's the feeling that you, myself, and Madonna all have, like, that's a feeling that we all have in common, or like how to navigate podcasts. And like, hey, if you don't want to keep talking about that, you just, or ask them.
I used to be like,
a different way. Like,
can I phone a friend? But like, what was that show? That's so old. Where you could like phone a friend and then do 50-50. What show was that?
A millionaire. Millionaire.
Yeah. Like nobody that I talk to now, like all my guests are like your age, and nobody knows what that show is anymore.
Oh, no. Listen, girl, Wheel of Fortune, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire,
okay.
The Price is Right, Judge Judy.
Okay.
I grew up at my meemaw's house. That shit stayed on.
I'm a meemaw. I love it.
My meemaw.
No, this is so great. So your record, you just got it pressed on vinyl, and it's mm-hmm. blue.
It is blue.
And where did you record it? I know Jordan Nix wrote a lot of this, or some of the songs are...
There's... melting pot of artists. So we record out in Arizona, out in Tempe, Arizona, with PH Naffa and Jeff Lesby.
Is that how you met Roger Klein?
It is, yes.
Okay, yeah. Sorry, continue.
No, you're good. And the Roger Klein camp has just welcomed me with open arms. They have been so amazing. I love going to Arizona. When I die, bury me in Phoenix or the Hill Country, whatever my corpse can take. I mean it, man. I don't do well in humidity, so it probably is going to be in Arizona.
I don't do well in humidity.
I melt. Speak of the devil.
Don Domino comes in and his phone is ringing.
But it's the Bluey theme song, so it's okay.
It's okay.
No, but Dalton helped me write a lot of almost all the songs on there. There are some Dalton Domino cuts on there. There's some Jordan Nix cut, and majority of them he also helped me write. There's also a Zane Williams cut on there. Thank you, Steamboat. You got me that. Who else is there? Oh, Myla. Shit. Myla helped me write like a ton of the
Myla
songs
is incredible. So I think that your record, what's exciting about it most to me, which is there's a lot of exciting things about it, but it doesn't sound like anything else. Like mm-hmm. there's nothing that I can be like, oh, it's like this. It's like, I don't know what it's like. It's so awesome. You have, you know, I grew up with like loving like Paramore and Flyleaf.
Oh my
and like,
God.
You have,
started.
You have like that voice of that era for me, but mixed with really incredible songwriting, really great sounds. There's a bunch of like crazy sounds
there
on that
are,
record.
There really are.
And PH is awesome. He's the drummer for Roger Klein.
Yes.
And I have heard your new Roger Klein duet, by the way.
Oh, sweet. I haven't.
What? I heard it before you?
No, I haven't said. I need to follow up.
I'm going to Mexico with Roger Klein next week. Oh, and he said, you should sing this new duet I did with Shelby Stone. And I said, well, Shelby Stone, she got that young 25-year-old voice. And I'm like, I don't think I... But anyway, I think I'm going to sing your part. Or I'm going to attempt to sing your part. But it's good. It's a good song.
I think so.
But that's so cool.
I think so. The song is good. But I think it's a simple part. Sorry. I was trying to think back of what we recorded that day.
Listen, you've gone 51 minutes without offending me.
I'm trying not to offend Roger. I don't think the song's bad. I love them.
I see.
They're truly amazing. They made such like a safe space to create for such a green artist. Like, it took 3 years to make the record, and day one, I'm shaking in my boots. And by the end of it, I'm in the control room feeling like I'm equal, which I was equal the whole time, but they knew it'd take me a little bit to get warmed up and comfortable with all of them. And
making a record's very vulnerable. I mean,
and it's draining creatively. Like, I did not realize, I'm like, why am I so tired? Like, that was a new thing for me. Like, it's no different than being exhausted after a day of co-writing where you're like, granted, I don't eat usually that day, and so that doesn't help. But
yeah,
it's like, what?
No, that is, I totally get that. But do you play piano? That was a question.
I do play piano.
Okay.
That technically was my first instrument.
Me too. So I saw a picture of you at the piano, and mm-hmm. I was like, oh my gosh, my dream was we should do like a Traces thing down here. That's like maybe my favorite.
Thank you. I love that song.
I love that song. Who wrote that?
Mila and I, over text message, actually. Like, Dalton had assigned the two of us. We weren't, like, super close yet. And Dalton was like, hey, the two of y'all get together and write. And so I had sent her a Dropbox folder of, like, fully written songs, half-written songs, just, like, a whole hodgepodge. And then, like, a single line. And it was a coffee stain ring on the napkin, two wine glasses there in the sink. You knew we weren't made for lasting. You weren't planning on sharing that with me. Like, that was the blurb. And the next thing I knew, she texted me back, and she was like, footprints on the carpet of our bedroom.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And so we did it all over text because she lives out in East Texas. And so we were just like, we could not text fast enough. So then we started doing little voice memo things. And like, I'd do something and I'd send it. And at the same time, she would do something. I'd listen to it and be like, ignore what I just sent. That was garbage. Let's do this. Like, it was just such a rapid fire, insane moment that every single time I sit down and co-write or solo write, that it's like, okay, Muse, please come back. That was so cool. We did the demo for that at Dalton's mom's house, like 2022, I think. It's been one of my favorite ones. It's my favorite one to play live too, because people, if you haven't heard the song before, it comes and just takes you out by the knees there at the end. And so,
well, the whole record does, and like, for real, it's such a good record. I told Shelby, I was like, I'm not gonna gush on it the whole time, but I could. It takes me a lot to get like excited about a full record anymore, because our attention spans, right, as humans. You did such a great job. The songs are great. The production's great. And do not go to shelbystone.com, because that is high quality, a wide array of high quality crushed limestone.
Yes.
It's theshelbystone.com. unless you need some high quality crushed limestone.
If you Google me right now, it cannot figure out who I am and who this movie director is. And so it'll be, the last time I checked, it was actually me in my Halloween costume, which is gas. And it says like age 66.
Great.
Yeah. And it's like movies, songs. I'm like, I haven't been. Okay.
I Google.
Limestone.
It is so good to just Google yourself every once in a while to see what the world is thinking about you. So if you Google me, it's Brie Bagwell age, Brie Bagwell husband.
Oh, fun.
So everyone's like, how old that bitch? And who is she married?
Who she will?
And how many forehead wrinkles be hiding under that hat, I think is what they want
to
know.
My face gets me. There's a reason I didn't go to the poker tournament yesterday, because my face has gotten me in more trouble than my mouth has. And that is really saying something. So at 26, I'm already like, oh man, relax your face, dude. Don't look like, I just have like a resting disgruntled face. It's not a resting bitch face. It's just like. And my mom used to tell me all the time, fix your face. So I feel you with the forehead lines.
Listen, I wear my emotions on my forehead, my sleeve.
You know exactly what I'm thinking.
I'm literally wearing a full sheep. How many times do I say sheep? Every time I say sheep during this podcast, take a drink and then we're all going to have a really good time. The thing is, though, that I was so honored to meet you. Dalton said I was going to love you. I freaking adore you with all my heart. Tonight at the Grand, you guys will be blown away every time this person sings. Her delivery, it's just incredible. thanks for being on my podcast. I don't know if I missed anything, but also if you're listening to this, please go to the Billy Bob's debut.
Yes, thank you. Like truly for, there's a lot, and I'll keep it like short and sweet because I know we probably got to wrap up. But like you and as well as a handful of other female artists here, you've been such a phenomenal role model for other up and coming female artists to look to, and also you welcome with no questions asked. I've never felt like I've had to show up and perform a certain way or show up and act a certain way. I can show up as myself to you. And also when like some crazy shit happens and it's like, hey, how do I put this in a contract? Because this is now an issue that we have. You've been able to just, oh, yep. Welcome to the gig. This is what we got to do. Like, and it not be like also a huge thing. So thank you as well.
You're very welcome. And my favorite ever was, we were talking there. There's me looking at the pirate again. She's like, I'm not going to burn my bra. I paid $72 for this.
Hell yeah, dude. I paid good money for that. I'm not burning it.
That's right. Hey, give it up for my very good friend, the most talented Shelby Stone. Go grab her new record off Bandcamp. And thank you guys. We'll be here all week at 3 p.m. Thank you, John Dixon and Music Fest and producer Kyle. You're amazing. I love you.
I love you.
Thanks, guys.
The floor is burning. It's early morning. Will the sea collapse and bleed? Am I trapped inside a dream? The rooms here all leave the same. Old feeling I can't seem to shake. I wanna run and beg you to follow, but you are still at ease and hollow. I could take my time like I have for years. The mercy is what's kept me here, but how long can we both sing along? Tell me, hearts like that come with shade, black flags and smoke till we both cave.